by way of the analysis of the constituents of the individual. It was pointed out by Uddalaka the sage that everything in this personality is made up of the essences of the three elements, fire, water and earth. And what we call hunger is nothing but the dissolution of the physical particles of food by the element of water. And the absorption of it thereby into the system. What we call thirst is the drying up of the water element in the system by the fire principle within us. The effect is consumed by the cause and is absorbed into its own self, until this process culminates in the recession of the lower effects into the final cause of all things, where they abide absolutely and completely. Tasya kvamulam syat anyatra adbhihi somya shungena tejo mula manvichha tejasa somya shungena mula manvichha sanmula somya ima sarva praja tadayatana sat padishtha. What is the ultimate cause? The cause ultimate can only be that which will not be absorbed back further into a higher cause. The absorption process ceases when the ultimate cause is reached. The grosser forms get absorbed into the subtle ones, and the subtle ones reach the causal state, until even the so-called final cause, from the point of view of empirical examination, reaches the absolute cause. There everything comes to a cessation and the individuality gets suspended and dissolved, as it were, when it is tuned up to the level of the ultimate reality. So there is an absorption of the grosser element of the earth into the water element, the water element into the fire element, and the fire element into the ultimate reality, which is called Sat or pure being. It is the originality of things from where the multiplicity appears to proceed. Through the instrumentality of this triplicated structure of the universe, the constituents of which are fire, water and earth, earlier in an untriplicated form and later in a gross and triplicated form. Everything ultimately is rooted in being. This is what Uddalaka makes out. Sanmula manvichha. You find out and discover the cause of everything in pure being. You will not find the ultimate cause of anything in any other thing except in being pure and simple, in which the effects are rooted in an undistinguishable manner. Ima sarvah prajaha sanmulaha. All this variety of creation is rooted in being, which is incapable of further absorption into any higher cause, because nothing can be greater than being. Everything is an effect of it, everything is a phase of it, everything is a formation of it or a manifestation of it, but it itself is not an expression of anything else. The generality of existence that is behind the particularity of objects is what is called Sat or Satta. Sometimes it is known as Satta Samanya, or the general being of all created objects, where the essences are discovered. And every particular can be resolved into this cause. Just as the varieties of furniture can be resolved into the cause, which is the wood. As is the case with wood, so is the case with any other manufactured object. Anything that has come out of something else is the effect of that something else, and it can be resolved back into that something out of which it has come, of which it is the effect and which is the cause thereof. So there is a tendency of every effect to return into its cause, which is what we call the evolutionary process. It is impossible for the effect to rest in itself because of the pull exerted by the cause, and the pull is invisibly felt and inexorably exercised universally everywhere in all creation in respect of every object, whatever it be, organic or inorganic. And so nothing is having any peace in this world. Everything is restless, everything moves, everything tends, and everything has an objective transcending itself. That is why there is an activity going on in the world, in every field of life, which tries to overcome its own limitations and parochial objectives until it reaches a more general form of it. The very aspiration to become something else, to transcend oneself, to become better and to move towards something greater, is the tendency of the limitedness of objects, the finitude of things, and these are the pointers to the existence of a cause beyond themselves. If there is no cause beyond an effect, there would be no motion of an effect towards something else. There would be no feeling of finitude in anything. There would be no aspiration, no desire whatsoever, and no activity would be practical. So, this is the philosophical background to which our mind is driven by the analogical explanations of Sri Juddalaka when he says that the earth element goes into the water element into the fire element, and that into the pure being of things. Sarva praja sadayatanaha, everything is having being as its abode, and everything is rooted in being, everything is established in it. As the branches of a tree are collected together by the force of the trunk, and they are dependent on it. The trunk again is in the root, and the root has come from the seed, which contained this variety and the magnificent expanse of the tree in that little insignificant content we call the seed. Yatha खलु सौम्य इमास्तिस्रः देवताः पुरुषं प्राप्य त्रिवृत् एकैका भवति तदुक्तं पुरस्तादेव. वी हैव ऑलरेडी एक्सप्लेन्ड हाउ द थ्री एलिमेंट्स गेट मिक्स्ड अप इन सर्टेन प्रोपोर्शन कॉल्ड त्रिवृत् करण, एंड दे कॉन्स्टिट्यूट बोथ द ऑब्जेक्टिव यूनिवर्स एज वेल एज द सब्जेक्टिव बॉडी ऑफ द इंडिविजुअल, ए पॉइंट दैट हैज बीन डिस्कस्ड ऑलरेडी. Now this subtlety of things, the essence of things, the background of all objects and the invisible cause that is transcendent behind all the variety of particulars is the self of all beings. This is the Atman of all things. And everything in this world has this as the self. Everything is moving towards the self of itself. Where do you move? You move towards the self of yours. You do not move towards something else, some other object. So even the so-called evolution is not a movement towards something else. It is a movement towards the self of that which is moving. The whole difficulty is where that self is. Is it inside? Is it outside? Is it in me, in you, or somewhere else? This is a point which will be discussed in the next chapter of this Upanishad, where this self is ultimately. Where is it that you are tending? And what makes you move and act and think in a particular manner? This movement of the world, the tendency of things, the process of the absorption of the effect into the cause is ultimately an indication that everything is pulled by the self towards itself. The subtlest of all things is the being pure and simple. And this being which you call Sat is also the Atman of things. There is a hint given as to where the self is, though it is not pointedly explained as to where it is, a subject that is reserved for another chapter. We have already been told as to where being is, and now the being is identified with the Atman or the self. So naturally where being is, their self also has to be. And we have been told that the Sat or the pure being of things is the generality of things, and therefore it must be everywhere. So the self also must be everywhere. So where is it that you are going? When you are pulled by the self towards itself, what is it that pulls you? Which object? It is everything that pulls you from every side. So it is not an entry of one thing into another thing, or one individual into another individual, even a larger or a magnified form of the individual, but an entry of the individual into a cosmic whole. And this is the self. So it is not an internal reality in an empirical sense, internal in the sense of something being inside another thing physically. It is a metaphysical internality, a spiritual internality, inconceivable to the mind and cannot be calculated in a mathematical way as if something is contained in something else. Not so as at all. It is the self of all things in a novel manner, impossible to describe in words, and it is this universal selfhood which is the cause of all things and towards which everything is moving. Saya eshaha anima etadatnam idam sarvam tat satyam sa atma tattvam asi shvetaketo. Oh shvetaketo, my dear boy, you cannot be separated from that. You cannot stand outside this being. As everything has come from that, you too have come from that. By the triplicated process of the elements, your body has been formed in this manner. And everything that you look to be, appear to be, everything that you are individually, is a shape taken by that being through this formation of triplication of the three elements. So what you call yourself as yourself or myself or anything refers to itself as its own self is a shape or a form taken by this being, and these shapes cannot stand outside being. That is the self of all beings, and therefore naturally you too are that. You can't stand outside it or external to it or different from it. It is the self of all, and that is therefore the self of you also. That is yourself. You yourself are that. Sveta Ketu, this is the great conclusion to which we come, at which we arrive by the analysis of the three elements and the inference of the existence of pure being as a background of the three elements. Bhuya eva ma bhagavan vijñāpayatu. This is something terrifying, says Sveta Ketu. Things that I have never heard from my preceptors earlier, and I require further instruction in greater detail about this being regarding which you have made a reference just now in a precise manner, and you startled me by saying that I am one with being, making it more difficult to understand when you have said that this being includes other beings also, which you call the different objects of creation, and you have merged me with other objects and taken me into this being where everything is put together in a menstruum, as it were, and melted into a pot where everything has become one. This requires further explanation. How is it that everything becomes one in being? And what sort of being is this where we all go and become united? What is this process of unification? How do all beings get together and melt, as it were, into this being when they reach that being? The explanation of it is given by an analogy. You see, says the father to the son, honey bees go to different flowers, collect the essences of the flowers, and convert these essences into a jelly by a certain chemical process that takes place within their own bodies, and they form what is called honey. Now, this thing called honey includes the essences of various flowers, hundreds and hundreds of them, from where they have been collected. The honey is an amalgam of all these essences. But in this body of the honey, one cannot distinguish the essence of this flower or that flower, and no particular essence would be cognizant of its own individuality in this mass called the honey. Everything has become in an indistinguishable manner. Yatha somya madhu madhukrataha nistishthanti nanatyayanam rakshanam rasan samavaharam ekatam rasam gamayanti ते यथा तत्र न विवेकं लभन्ते अमुष्याहं वृक्षस्य रसः अमुष्याहं वृक्षस्य रसः अस्मि इति एवमेव खलु सौम्य इमा सर्वा प्रजाः सति सति सम्पद्या न विदुः सति सम्पद्यामहे इति. What happens to all individuals when they reach being is something like what happens to the various essences of flowers when they become honey. They have become one and they are present in honey, no doubt, but the distinguishability of character is absent. No particular flower can be distinguished there in the body of the honey, and no particular essence will be conscious of its presence there as an individual isolated from others. There would be a total consciousness of the honey, but not the individual consciousness of the particles of flower of which the honey has been formed. This is the work that the bees have done. They have abolished the distinction of all these flower pollens and merged them into a singularity of essence. That is called the honey. This is what happens to you all people when you go to pure being. You are drawn back to pure being, just as the essences of flowers are drawn into the body of the honey. And when you go there, you do exist. Not that you do not exist. Just as the essences of flowers do exist in the honey also. But the only difference is, you will not know, I am Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, I am man, I am woman, I am a human being, I am this, I am that. All this distinction will vanish. You will be there as the constitutive essence of the pure substance that being is, even as honey is, so that there will be no self-consciousness of a particularized nature. There will be a universal consciousness, but not an individual consciousness. This will happen to you when you reach pure reality, absolute being. Just as flower essences do not know themselves differently in honey, individuals will not know themselves there when they reach that ultimate reality. Now, this is an example. Now, in the case of the entry of the individuals into the state of pure being, there is an important remark to make. There can be two types of entry, an unconscious entry and a conscious entry. In deep sleep, you are supposed to fall on the nature of this pure being. You stumble upon it, but you are unconscious of it and you really do not get absorbed into it. You contact it in some way, in a mysterious manner. Your individuality, consciousness is abolished, no doubt. But it does not become universal consciousness, it becomes unconsciousness. There is something that is comparable between total unconsciousness and universal consciousness. The principle that can be compared between these two states is that in either of these states there is no particularity consciousness. But there is a tremendous difference, and as a philosopher humorously remarked, the difference between universal consciousness and deep sleep and the similarity between these two is that which exists between God and dog. There is similarity, no doubt, and yet you know the difference. So, because of the inability to absorb yourself into that being really, you come back from that state. Even if you die, you will not reach that being. Even at the time of death, something like sleep takes place. You are in a temporary state of sleep. And it can be compared only to the state of sleep. That borderland of the transition of this world experience to the experience of the other world is something like coma or deep sleep. So when you are not able to continue in that condition for a long time on account of the existence of the potentiality to rise up into waking consciousness, you rise up into that very same form through which you passed in the earlier state. As is the case with sleep, when you get up from sleep, you are the same person that you went into sleep. A will become A, B will become B, C will become C when they return from sleep. A will not become B, something else will not happen. So is the case after death. If a tiger sleeps, when it gets up, it is a tiger only. If a mosquito sleeps, when it gets up, it is a mosquito only. It does not become something else. Though in sleep, they have no particular consciousness. Taihya vyagro va simho va vrako va varaho va kito va patango va damsho va mashako va yadyat bhavanti tada bhavanti. If it is a tiger, it becomes a tiger. If it is a lion, it is a lion, etc., etc. Whatever its nature is, to which it reverts, into that particular form of individuality, in spite of the fact that there has been a tentative contact in an unconscious manner with this undistinguished reality which is pure being. Now the analogy is that this pure being is the self of all, of which you may be conscious or you may not be conscious, that is a different matter. But that is the reason behind all your activities, that is the reason behind your sleep, that is the reason behind your birth and death, that is the reason behind the whole process of universal evolution. It is the self that is causing this activity in the form of births, deaths, incarnations, etc., etc. This will not cease until everything is ultimately resolved into that supreme being which is called salvation. एषा अणिमा एतदात्मविदं सर्वं तत्सत्यं स आत्मा तत्त्वमसि श्वेतकेतो ए श्वेतकेतो यू आर दैट ओनली फ्रॉम विच यू हैव कम प्लीज एक्सप्लेन फर्दर सेज द बॉय ही इज नॉट सैटिस्फाइड भूय एव भगवान विज्ञापयति तथा सोम्येति होवाच यस श्रीडाउन आई शैल एक्सप्लेन टू यू फर्दर. When the rivers enter the ocean, what happens to the rivers? There is Ganga, there is Yamuna, there is Volga, there is Mississippi, there is Amazon. They all go to the same ocean and fall into the body of these waters. When they enter the ocean, they become a mass of water and you do not know whether it is Ganga or Yamuna or what. You take a tumbler of water from the ocean, you do not know which water you are taking, of which river. Why? Because the indistinguishability of character in the rivers has been abolished in the body of the waters called the ocean. इमान सौम्य नद्यः पुरस्तात् प्राच्यस्यन्दन्ते पश्चात् प्रतीच्यस्तात् समुद्रात् समुद्रमेवापियन्ति समुद्र एव भवन्ति ता यथा तत्र न विदो यमहमस्मि. नो रिवर नोस आई एम गंगा आई एम यमुना व्हेन इट एंटर्स द ओशन. the bodily distinction of the rivers is completely transcended, overcome, abolished from the root. That is called the ocean. Now, this is a comparison, an analogy to describe what pure being is in respect of the various individuals here. These individuals, these created individuals, these bodies are like rivers tending towards the ocean of the Absolute. When they reach this pure being which is the Absolute, it is like rivers entering the ocean. We are all different one from the other. Every river is different from every other river in every way. You know that. But when they enter the ocean, you don't know where the rivers are. So is the case with every one of us when we reach the Absolute. We become the ocean and you do not know where you are, where I am, yet you are there. You cannot say that the rivers are absent. They are there. So it is not a negation of individuality, but a transcendence of individuality. It is not that the rivers are destroyed there, but they are absorbed into a larger being, into a greater reality of themselves, which is their self. You may say in a sense, the ocean is the self of the rivers, towards which they tend and move, and by which they get absorbed, which they become in the end. So is the case with all of us, all individuals, everything in creation, which will tend towards the ocean of the ultimate being. When it goes there, what happens is that they cannot distinguish themselves, they have become one. एवमेव खलु सौम्या इमा सर्वा प्रजा सत आगत्य न विदुः. When you have gone there and come back, you do not know that you have gone there and come back. You have touched, you have entered, you have practically become one with that in deep sleep. But you do not know that. Your eyes have been blindfolded. When you come back, you say, I am so and so. That's all. You have no other consciousness. Sata agatya navidhu sata agachamaitu. Te iha vyagrova, etc. Whatever they were, they become the animals, the human beings. Whatever the species has been, from which particular character they have entered into sleep, or from which character they have died, but they will be reborn into that very state because of the absence of consciousness. Now, this is the reality, this is the being of all things, and you too are that. Tattvamasi Shweta Keto. Bhuyayam Bhagavan Vijnapayato, explain further, says the boy. It doesn't appear that you have concluded the lecture, there is something more. This is the life of all beings. This thing that you call the existence or the being of things is also the vitality of things. It is what is called life. You say there is life in it and there is not life in it. What do you mean by life? A tree has life but stone has no life. This is what we say generally. What is the meaning? Being has not manifested itself adequately in one thing, and it has manifested itself in a greater proportion in something else. There is a greater manifestation of reality in plants and the vegetable kingdom than in stones, for instance. That is why you say there is life in a tree. This example is given here. Asya soumya mahata vrithasya yaha mule abhyahanyat jivan sravet. There must have been a huge banyan tree in front of the kutir of Udgalaka. So he says, look at this big tree in front of our kutir. Suppose someone lays an axe on one of its branches. It will immediately demonstrate that it has got life. A juice will flow from that cut part. Jivan sravet. Because there is life, it will exude an essence from its body. This will happen if it is cut in any other part of its body also. Madhya abhyanyat jivan sravet. Suppose one cut at the trunk, then also you will feel the juice coming out. Agre abhyanyat jivan sravet. You may cut a little branch on the top, then also you will see that there is life in it. A juice will exude from that particular part. Sa esha jivena atmana anuprahuta pepiyamana modamanas tishthati. The exuberant growth of the tree is due to the life that is in the tree. You will find the joyous foliage of expanded trees in beautiful seasons of the year, when the trees, the whole vegetable kingdom seems to be highly delighted. What is this delight? What is this happiness that you discover in the blooming of a beautiful tree, for instance, when it flowers in a beautiful form in the spring season? It is the manifestation of the life principle in it. It is the working of jiva, that essence you call life, which cannot be explained in any other way. No one can say what this life is. You can simply say there is life, that is all. But what do you mean by life? Life is life, it cannot be explained in any other word. It has no definition, it has no comparison. Life cannot be compared to anything else. There is nothing like it. It is unique in its nature. It stands by itself absolutely, uncomparable. So you simply say life, as if everything is clear. There is life, and we live a life. But what is life? Nobody knows. Nobody can say anything about it, because it is the ultimate being. It cannot be explained by any other higher reference. So the existence of the tree, the working of the tree, the living of the tree is due to this vitality, which is referable back to pure being as Sat. This is present not only in the tree, but in everything else that has life. If the life departs from the tree dries up. When you say a particular branch of the tree is dry, what you mean is that life has departed from that particular part. Asya yad ekam shakam jivo jahati atha sa shushyati. That particular branch which is divested or deprived of the life principle becomes dry, it is lifeless. Dvitiyam jahati athasa syushati, tritiyam jahati athasa syushati, sarvam jahati sarva syushati. Another branch dries up, third branch dries up, finally the trunk dries up, the whole tree can dry up. If the life principle in the tree leaves the body of the tree, the whole tree dries up. So what was it that was in the tree which you call life? There was an essence. Jiva petam bhava kiledam riyate na jivo mriyate. What you call death is the separation of body from life. The departing of life from the particular body. So death is not the death of life principle itself. Na jivo mriyate. Life itself does not die. The vitality is transferred from one location to another. It is withdrawn from a particular formation. That is all. The general principle which is called pure being, the reality you call life, is withdrawn from that particular manifestation called the body. And then that particular form is said to die. It is deprived of that essence which is called the generality, which is the reality. So is the case with everything. Evameva khalu somya vidhi. This is only an example that I have given to you, my dear boy. From this example, this analogy, you must understand everything that follows as an implication. This is the case with everybody, including us. We are all like trees, we are all living bodies, endowed with a living principle, but we shall die only when the life principle in us is withdrawn. The generality in us is withdrawn from the particularity that we appear to be. This essence that is called the generality of being is the Atman of all things. And everything in this world, everything in this creation has this as the self. There are not many selves. Though the bodies are many, forms are many, individualities are many, the self is only one. So everything reverts into this supreme self, from where it has come and towards which it tends somehow or the other, that you also are Shweta Kyoto. Tattvamasi Shweta Kyoto. Please explain further. Bhuya eva ma bhagavan vijnapayatu tatha somyeti hovacha. Shall I explain to you further? And another interesting thing about this unmanifested being from which this manifested universe arises. Bring that little fruit of the banyan tree. There is a banyan tree in front, and you know the tree is so large and the fruit is so small. Bring that fruit, says the father to the son. Nyagrodha phalamata ahara. So the boy ran and brought a small fruit of that huge expanse of the tree called banyan. Then he said, Idam Bhagavaha, here is the fruit, my dear father. Bhindhiti, split it, he said. Break the fruit into pieces. Bhindam Bhagavaha, yes, I have broken, he said. Kimatra Pashyasi, now what do you see inside it? The boy says, Anniyaha. I see small granules. You might have seen the fruit of a banyan tree. Many innumerable, countless, very tiny atomic seeds are present there. How small they are. And you can compare the smallness of the seed to that largeness of the tree, which is the banyan. Anvihaiva. Dhana. Very small seeds I see inside the fruit. Very tiny atomic seeds are there, said the sun. Asam Anga Ekam Bindi. Now you split one small seed there, said the father. It is very difficult to split it. You can't touch it also, it will escape your touch. Somehow he split that little atomic seed. Vinna Bhagavad, yes, I have split it, is it? Kimatra Pashyasi. Now inside that very little atomic seed, what do you see? Nakinchana Bhagavad, I don't see anything. You can't see, your naked eyes cannot see what is inside that little thing. There is a small jelly-like, very tiny, invisible essence inside that so-called seed. Very small. It is a liquid-like, jelly-like substance. You may have to see it with a powerful microscope. There is no solid substance there inside that little seed. What is there? I cannot see anything, said the boy. Tagum hovacha yam vai somya etamanimanam nibhalese etasya vai somya esha animna eva mahan nyagro dastishtati. Do you know, my dear boy, this great wonder? You say that you cannot see anything there. It is practically invisible and non-existent, as it were, from your point of view. This apparently non-existent something, that very little subtle essence there inside that little seed, has become this vast tree in front of you. Do you know this? How is this possible? Is it not a miracle that a terribly large tree should grow from this little speck of a jelly which cannot even be seen with the eyes? Now look at this miracle. Please have faith in what I say and go into the deeper profundities of this analogy of mine. Shraddhasya somya iti saha ya esha anima etadatmamidam sarvam. This little so-called subtle essence is pervading the entire tree. Do you know this? How is this possible? How can an atomic little speck pervade the large expanse of the tree, but yet there is nothing in this tree which is not in this little speck of jelly? The so-called large tree that you see there is nothing but whatever is contained in this invisible speck. So is this vast universe. You say this universe is so large, so big, so unmanageable, so gross, so weighty. This is exactly as you say, this tree is so big. But from where has it come? It has come from this little small atomic seed, subtle. That is the being essence of this vast tree. so is this being the essence of this whole universe. And that is the self of the whole universe. This little jelly-like substance inside the little seed is the self of this whole tree. It is the Atman of this banyan, because that has become all this, and outside it the tree does not exist. So it is the being of this tree. So is this the being of the whole universe, including your own self, and you are that. Just as you can tell every branch of the tree, you are that essence. You can tell every leaf in the tree, you are that essence. Every fruit and flower in the tree, you are that. And you will not be committing a mistake in saying that it is true. So you can say to every individual, you are that. Because this variety has come from that indistinguishable, homogeneous reality. Bhuya evam bhagavan vijnapayatu, explain further. Well, you bring a little salt. Another example is given by the father. Lavanam etat udake avadhaya athama pratarupasi tathaha. Bring a little salt and put it in this water cup. He brought a cup of water and put the salt into it. You put it there and see me tomorrow morning. Saha tatha chakara, the boy did like that. Tagum hovacha atha yet dosha lavana mudake avadha anga dahareti tadava mrishya na viveda. Next morning the boy came and greeted the father, and the father said, yesterday you put salt into the water, bring that salt. He went there and saw the salt is not there. What has happened to the salt? It has become one with the water. So he could not bring the salt. Yatha vilinam eva anga asya anta dachameti. The boy said, there is no salt. There is no salt in the water. Now I shall prove to you that there is salt. You sip a little of it from the top. What is the taste? It is saltish. You sip a little from the middle, it is saltish. You sip a little of it from any part of the water, it is saltish. So, does the salt exist there? Yes. But you cannot see it? Yes, I cannot see it. Now, though you cannot see a thing, it can be there. The salt in the water, because it is dissolved in the water, cannot be seen. But through some other means, you can discover that it is there. The generality of the salt, which has become indistinguishable from the body of the water, cannot be visibly seen with the eyes, no doubt. But you can find out that the salt is there by tasting the water. So by one means you cannot see, but another means you can see. In a similar manner, says the father to the son, is the case with this being that has entered into the substance of all this creation. In the same way as you cannot see the salt in water, but you can verify the existence of the salt in water by some other means, that is by tasting, You cannot see this being in the particulars of this world. It is dissolved in this particular as it were. But as by tasting you could...